listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Reading from Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. If then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time, when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let's give God thanks for these words, and pray that He will give us understanding of them. Our Father, we come giving thanks for what took place at Colossae, at the time that Paul could write to them. Some of it beginning with if, others describing what they walked in the past and where they were in the present time. And we pray, Father, that we might have that blessing also today in the church as they did then, that we may not be a church in name only, but that we may have that which is truly the mighty work of Thy Spirit, all because of Christ. And Father, that Thou will now teach us because of Him, and teach us through Him, all that will glorify Thee, and will be right for the reviving of the church, for the awakening and salvation of the world, that we may know this in doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, again for Thy glory and for our blessing, for the blessing of the whole world, that which was said by the angels, even on the day of Christ's birth, may take place today, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, that we might have peace with Thee through Christ, and that will also bring peace with one another among nations that have strife within themselves. Father, we pray and plead that this might be recognized as it was in Colossae, that they put off the anger and the malice and all these evil things, and that may be done today. Father, we believe with Paul that the gospel of Christ is Thy power unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And we pray that Thou would cause many to hear and many to believe today. We ask it, Father, for Thy glory. We ask it for the upbuilding of the church. And we ask it for the blessing on the world. We pray, Father, for these spiritual blessings first. We also give thanks for the blessings in nature, that we are so richly blessed in our area when others are suffering. We pray, Father, for peace on earth, that the nations at war may have peace through the gospel. We give thanks for the measure of peace that some nations have in our own. We pray, Father, that these blessings may continue where they are given. We pray for those in sickness and injury. We pray for troubled homes, broken homes, the children in those homes especially. We pray that once again, Thou will be recognized as Creator in the schools, in the workplace, in government. Father, that we might know here in our nation that we are one nation under Thee, and every nation might know it for Thee as both Creator and Sustainer. We pray, Father, for those that have special needs and lonesomeness and heartaches and cares, sorrow. We pray that Thou would give each one what is needed and can be given through Christ. Amen. As we look again at this letter of Paul to the church at Colossae, which is also to each one that is a child of God, it can be said to everyone, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. As I said in prayer, the scripture is given for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and instruction in righteousness, as Paul wrote to Timothy. We see doctrine here in this letter to the Colossians. We do not see much reproof, but we do see correction and instruction in righteousness. The correction in verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. They are to be put down, to be crucified, reckoned dead. We see also instruction in righteousness, and especially right from the beginning, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. We have in those first verses both doctrine and correction, or instruction in righteousness. The doctrine that Christ is risen. He is on the right hand of God. We read many times in Scripture that He, after He rose again, He ascended to heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. We read it in the last chapter of Mark. We read it in the first chapter of Hebrews. And throughout the book of Hebrews, we read of it again. And here, we read of it also in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. In chapter 1, we read verse 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. We see it also already in prophecy. David wrote, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." And we have in Paul's letter to the church at Rome, in Romans chapter 8, what Christ is doing there on the right hand of the Father. We read verse 34, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." He not only was born and lived on this earth, taught, did many miracles, then died, rose again, but He's there now for everyone who believes and making intercession, and very possibly makes intercession for us before we believe, that we might become believers. And in that way, He's the good shepherd that looks at the lost in the wilderness and goes after them with His Spirit, with His Word, through His witnesses, as well as in ways of sometimes circumstance, bringing it about, bringing as those in Colossae to be risen with Christ, first being dead in sin, and risen with Him, we are to seek those things which are above. We are to seek the heavenly things, the things that Christ spoke of, the things that the psalmist spoke of, the things that John especially writes in the book of Revelation, when he sees God on His throne, sees the elders there round about, sees Christ, sees what is requested of Him and what He can do as the Lamb of the tribe of Judah, and one that can open the seals, one that can do all things needed, and the one who has said before He left this earth, "All power is given to me in heaven and on earth." And that power continued, and that power is there now. He has power in judgment. He has power in grace. And one day He will come back again and exercise that power in bringing about the end of the age as we know it. We read in chapter 1 earlier in verse 16, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." And then repeating the words again, the last part of the verse that were there in the first part, "All things were created by Him and for Him." By Him and for Him. And then everything continues because of Him. In verse 17, "He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." When Paul writes to the Hebrews, he writes that He upholds all things by the word of His power. He is doing that now. You and I are here because of Him. If we are God's children, not only because of Him as Creator, but as recreation, new creation in Christ Jesus, and then risen with Christ, having gone through the experience of repentance toward God, coming to agree with God, coming to submit to God, coming to confess our sin to God, and then through Christ being saved. And then being saved as Paul wrote in the second chapter, verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. There Paul is describing God's work in us that he also did in Christ. Let me read it again. Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. It is faith in God, it is faith in Christ, but it is also the faith of the operation of God who gives us that pardoning faith, first of all. We might even say, first of all, gives us faith to know we're wrong, to know God is right and we are wrong. Like Isaiah saw God high and lifted up, he saw himself a man of unclean lips. Paul, when he was stopped by Christ, saw Christ exalted, called him Lord, asked who he was, and then we read, trembling and astonished, asked, what must I do? He was humbled. All of that is God's work, or here described as the operation of God. Earlier it was described as the circumcision made without hands, and we could go on in the different ways in which it was repeated. We mentioned some of that last week. But going on now in this third chapter, the doctrine of Christ being risen and we risen with him, and Christ sitting on the right hand of God. The doctrine of where we are in the third verse, where ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And the fourth verse as well. All doctrine of Christ and what he did for us in grace. Verse 4, when Christ, who is your head, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. All of this is what God does. God alone. He does it through Christ, by the Spirit, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together. And when Christ is going to come again, it's not by man's setting the date. It's not by man's doing. It is all God's way and work. And all of it will unfold as described here. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with them in glory. Some will be on earth at that time. He'll bring some saints along. The dead will rise, all of that together. It's beyond our comprehension, but spoken of in the Word, and all will be fulfilled as God spoke of it, as he planned it, and he will do it in that way. And here we are to learn from it. And because of it, he gives us that exhortation, that correction, that instruction in righteousness. Seek those things which are above in verse 1. Set your affection on things above in verse 2. And not in the contrary way that we were accustomed to in our fleshly ways, our old ways. Not on things on the earth. We were, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, of the earth, earthly. That's all we were, fleshly, earthly, sensual, and even worse, devilish, walking according to the course of this world. But we're no longer to do that. That is to be reckoned dead. And as Paul said, verse 3, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Paul describes that dead body as, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? It wants to come back. It wants to have its place. But we are to mortify it, as the fifth verse states. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And they're describing what that life is made of. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness. This which is idolatry. Is it any wonder then that Paul, as he writes to another church, states that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing? No good thing. Nothing. There's nothing to start with in the flesh. Christ said to Nicodemus, recorded in John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Something totally new. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Paul writes to the Corinthians. And here, if you be risen with Christ, something new, something has taken place by the grace of God, by the power of God, through the preaching of the gospel, the opening of hearts, all of that has taken place. Paul described it, the circumcision made without hands in chapter 2, verse 11, and putting off the body of sins by the circumcision of Christ, that which is within, that which, as the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, as the wind cometh, you don't know where it, whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It is a work that probably brings that time, makes the person perplexed. Paul, trembling and astonished. This was different. He did not know it. He had sat at the feet of Gamaliel in Jerusalem. He had learned to be, was learning to be a rabbi, but was a persecutor. And now suddenly, Christ began his teaching, his change in him, and he perfected it, made Paul a witness, a preacher of the gospel, one that would say, I determine not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He knew Christ crucified for his sin, and he also knew that there was a risen Savior, whom he cried after, and said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. And now he is urging these people at Colossae and us to walk in that new and living way. Risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek the heavenly. Paul had said to the church at Ephesus, after describing them in their sinful ways, he says, but God, who was rich in his mercy, with his great love, wherewith he loved us, made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Heavenly places begins on earth, begins from where we are here, knowing and learning the things of heaven, learning the things that are there now and the things that will be there for us in perfection in the future, in eternity, and never to end. And here he is describing this to them and urging them on, describing it in verse 3, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Again, God did it. God did it all. He did it with Paul. He did it with these Colossians. And he must do the same thing with you and me. He's got to bring us to the end of ourself, knowing it, knowing our sin by God's holy law. And as Paul said, and I died. Yes, he died, but it was God's mighty work in him, convicting, convincing, changing, bringing the old to an end, bringing the beginning of the new life in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. That is for the future, but the beginning of things are here for now. Now seek those things which are above. Now set your affection on things above. Now stop doing and having the things on earth, the earthly, the sensual, the devilish. And they are to be mortified. They are our members, your members, which are upon the earth. Each of us have these individual things in our life. And this is a picture of the world that is dead in sin. They are only part of the world. What a wonderful thing it is if God awakens us to that fact and sometimes has to reawaken us. He also instructed the church at Ephesus, but there he gave also reproof when he said, awake, thou that sleepest, rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. If we do not do these things as they are here in instruction and righteousness to this church at Colossae, then God has to come to us and say, awake thou that sleepest. You've gone to sleep instead of being awake. You've gone to sleep instead of listening, learning, and doing, as this chapter describes so wonderfully, and gives warning as well. We are not only to mortify the members which are upon the earth, so rampant today, and accepted today as right. God describes them as wrong, wrong, wrong. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetous, all wrong. We're almost led to go after these things, and especially by government, promise these things, and many will promise to give them, and in some ways are giving them to our detriment, and especially to the detriment of the future of our nation and other nations as well, bringing upon ourselves self-destruction, but bringing on ourselves as well that which is described in verse 6 and has happened to many nations and has happened particularly to Israel in the past, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Paul has said this to other churches, and we can see it in the Old Testament history, and here he states it again very plainly. For which things sake? The things mentioned in the fifth verse. All these parts of our members, part of you and I, to be mortified. In other places he writes, to be crucified, to be reckoned dead. And with the warning that if these are left, if we continue in them, if we don't recognize them in repentance, and sadly the church has to be called to repentance as well as the world. We had to be called to repentance in the beginning. Paul said he preached repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that to the church at Ephesus. It had been their beginning, but sadly, a great number of years later, the Lord Jesus called them again to repentance and said, except they repent, the candlestick or the light of the Holy Spirit would be removed. And here, this church is being called at this time, called to mortify with the warning, for these things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Sometimes more, sometimes less, sometimes sooner, sometimes later, but it comes. And how terrible it is not to recognize it. How terrible it is to be left alone without God's Word and without His Spirit to wake up on the day of judgment too late. Believe these things to be true. They are true for the world and for the church. Every one of these things spoken of, believe them for God's glory and for your and mine and others' eternal good.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.